This is Focus 580, our morning talk program, hour number two. Glad to have you with us. My name is David Inge. The producers, Harriet Williamson and Martha Deal, and Jason Croft is at the controls this morning. Last year, the U.S. Gulf Coast was heavily damaged by two major hurricanes. They caused more than $80 billion in damage. They forced mass evacuations from five states. And government at all levels has been criticized for failing to respond adequately to the storms and their aftermath. And many people are asking this question: what will happen when the next disaster strikes? Are we prepared for the next Hurricane Katrina or for the next 9/11? Well, this morning in this part of the show, we'll be talking about what we have learned from these experiences. And our guest will be Trina Sheets. She is the executive director for the National Emergency Management Association. This is an affiliate organization of all of the state directors of emergency management in all 50 states and the District of Columbia and the U.S. territories. She's had this job since 1995. One of her main responsibilities has been tracking and reporting on national, legislative, and federal policy issues that relate to emergency management and homeland security. Before joining NEMA in 1993, she was director of public relations for the Central Kentucky Blood Center. And she's joining us this morning by telephone. Questions are certainly welcome. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, and that one's good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. At any point here, people with questions can call, and the only thing we ask of callers is that folks just try to be brief as they can so that we can get in as many different callers as possible and keep the program moving along. But the numbers, if you'd like to call here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, 800-222-9455. So at any point here, you want to join us, you can certainly do that. Ms. Sheets, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thanks. And yourself?
Good, I'm fine, thank you.
Well, we appreciate you giving us some of your time. Maybe just to start here, you might want to say a little bit more about NEMA, the National Emergency Management Association.
Sure. NEMA is a national, nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that's headquartered in Lexington, Kentucky. And as you mentioned in the introduction, we do represent the emergency management directors in the states. And these are individuals who are appointed by their governors to be responsible for preparing the state for disaster and ensuring that there are systems and programs in place to respond and also help communities to recover from disasters when they do occur.
Well, let's go right to talking a little bit perhaps about Katrina and the aftermath of Katrina. And I suppose one would include Rita, because both of these were serious storms. They were big storms. They caused a lot of damage. They caused dislocation of people. And in the cases of both, or particularly Katrina, there was a great deal of criticism of government at all levels, the local government, the state government, the national government, for failure to prepare and for failure to deal with a crisis when it arrived. If I ask you this question, you know, given the fact that now we've had almost a year to think about it and to look at what might be done better, if Hurricane Katrina hit tomorrow, would we have a better response than we did last time?
I would say the answer to that question is yes. Obviously, where the next hurricane hits, where it might make landfall is important. There are still long-term recovery efforts going on along the Gulf Coast in Louisiana and Mississippi. If we have a major hurricane that hits those same areas this year, obviously there are going to be some major problems because the infrastructure is still not fully recovered there. But speaking in general, our states, is the region better prepared? Absolutely. There has been an enormous amount of planning that has taken place since Hurricane Katrina, a review of state and local emergency operations plans, of evacuation plans and updates to those. There has been additional training. There have been new policies that have been developed by the federal government that will make it easier and quicker for states to request resources from the federal government. There's a whole laundry list of things that have been done since Hurricane Katrina to better prepare the nation for a catastrophic type event.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly, I should have excluded the possibility of the same areas being hit again. Heaven forbid, we would not want to wish such a thing to happen to those people. We wouldn't want to wish it to happen to anybody. My thought was, you know, maybe some other area that was not already heavily damaged and dealing with that. You know, supposing that we had a big earthquake somewhere or a similar kind of storm or, you know, something that was caused by human beings, whether what we've learned going back to 9/11 and then what we've learned from the response to the natural disasters of last year, whether, generally speaking, we could say, yes, we would do a better job than we had in the past. And it sounds like you're saying the answer, you feel the answer is yes, we would do a better job.
Yes, absolutely. And we have to remember that Hurricane Katrina was the largest disaster in United States history. It was catastrophic. By the very definition of catastrophic, it means overwhelmed, to overwhelm your capabilities. Now, could there have been things done more quickly, things done better at each level of government? Absolutely. But again, it was a catastrophic disaster, and I dare say that wherever something like that would have occurred in the country at that time, there would have been some difficulties in responding to it. But having said that, from January through April of this year, the Department of Homeland Security conducted a very comprehensive national assessment of state and major city emergency operations plans to include evacuation and sheltering plans. And there was a lot learned from that assessment. And states and local governments have gone back and been able to identify where their gaps and shortfalls are for a Katrina-like event, should we have the mass evacuation and the sheltering needs that we saw in the days following Hurricane Katrina. And they have addressed and continue to address those issues. So there is a much keener understanding of what it takes to respond to a catastrophic event, and states are addressing those issues.
Maybe you could talk a little bit about what exactly is the mechanism that would have to come into play for a state to request federal assistance, or whether there are cases where the states don't have to ask for it, that the federal government sees that something has happened and it's very obvious that assistance is needed. Can the federal government simply swing into action, or must the state governor of the state, wherever that's going on, ask the federal government to come in?
The system that has been in place historically and the preferred system, it's a stepped approach, if you will. The local government is the initial responder to any event. Once they feel that their resources and capabilities have been overwhelmed, they call into the state and ask for state assistance. And likewise, when the state feels like the event is beyond their resources and capabilities, the governor then has the option of requesting emergency and disaster assistance from the federal government. So there is a system and a process in place. Typically, a governor would not want military or other federal officials coming into their state and taking over. It is a partnership approach. It is a unified command approach, the state and the federal government working side by side to respond to the event. However, as we saw during Hurricane Katrina, we now know that there may be circumstances in the future when even state government is overwhelmed, particularly when communication systems are completely wiped out, and they may not be able to be in close communication and contact with their local officials to know what the status of the situation is and what resources are needed. And So that's been quite a subject of debate over the last year as to what is the authority of the federal government to lean forward, if you will, and come in the absence of the request of the governor, particularly if you're going to utilize military troops and military assets to go into a state. So that is a very sensitive subject still. But there have been some plans put in place by the federal government to do this should it be required in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly I've been looking at a paper that your organization put out looking at some basic ideas for improving the emergency management system in the United States. And under the heading of state and local issues, one of the things, in fact, is the first thing that you have here is that governors must remain in the lead in disaster response within their state. And I'm sure that that's what government on a state level would want. But I do find myself wondering whether lines of authority are always really clear. And again, we've really already talked about that, but what exactly the relationship is between the state government and the federal government. And indeed, if for whatever reason it seems that the state government is overwhelmed or can't respond, then exactly what's the plan for having the federal government intervene? And it sounds as if that's not exactly clear, that there are somewhat sensitive issues of sovereignty here that have to be considered.
Absolutely. And that is a worst-case scenario and a last resort, to have the federal government come in and take over from a governor. You know, public safety is a basic responsibility of a governor. And, you know, except in the most extreme circumstance, a governor does not want to abdicate that responsibility for their citizens to the federal government. They very much want to remain in charge and in the lead, ensuring that their citizens and their communities are taken care of in the right way. Again, though, and we don't know what kinds of events we might be facing in the future if state government leadership is wiped out, if you will, and not even physically present or able to lead. So there may be situations like that in the future, and it makes sense to debate the issue and work out some reasonable policies. But again, having anyone other than the governor in charge of a disaster response is an absolute last resort.
We are talking this morning in this part of Focus 580 with Trina Sheets. She is the executive director for the National Emergency Management Association. This is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. It's an affiliate of the Council of State Governments, and what it does is it represents all of the state directors of emergency management. And it's based in Lexington, Kentucky. Here we're talking about the problems involved in dealing with national emergencies, big natural disasters like Hurricane Katrina, for example, or something that was caused by human beings like 9/11, and anything in between. Questions are welcome, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. How much do state emergency management agencies depend on funds from the federal government to do what they do?
They are quite dependent on federal funds, and probably more so than they would like to be. Emergency management in many states, especially if you're not a hurricane state or a state that has experienced natural disasters on a regular basis, the funding is very small. It's an extremely small portion of the overall state budget. It's very difficult for emergency management to compete in the legislature with issues such as education, health care, economic development. As I said, again, particularly in those states that don't experience disasters on a regular basis. And even those that do have disasters that happen quite frequently are still in competition with more politically popular programs in their states.
Hmm. Is it? I don't know if this is possible to say because this is one of those big numbers questions, and obviously you're have all 50 states here in your organization, but is it possible to say a little bit of something about, on the average, what states spend or what some of the ranges of spending are, how much money they put into disaster preparedness, emergency management, and how much of that is state money and how much of that comes from the federal government?
Right. Well, it ranges quite significantly, as you might expect, from small states such as Vermont to a California. It's millions of dollars of difference.
Mm-hmm.
The one program from the federal government that states depend quite heavily on is called the Emergency Management Performance Grant. And those are grants from the federal government that go to the state that are then passed along to local governments. And they really provide for the basics of emergency management, if you will, planning, training, exercises and drills, public education campaigns. Most of that money goes to support emergency management personnel who are responsible for performing those functions. The Emergency Management Performance Grant Program is funded at $180 million a year. That is a minuscule amount of money compared to what we've been spending on terrorism preparedness in this country, almost $3.5 billion a year since September 11th for terrorism preparedness, yet we're spending $180 million a year on natural disaster preparedness. So the contrasts are quite striking, if you will, and our organization has been talking to Congress and talking to the federal government about this for years and just asking that there be a balance between homeland security and natural disasters, knowing that we're going to experience natural disasters somewhere in this country every single year.
Mm-hmm.
That $180 million, however, it is matched. It is a 50% match by the states. And many states, in fact, overmatch. They supplement that budget with additional funds because it truly is such a small amount of money.
Yeah. Well, this definitely was something that I wanted to ask you about, and I know that some of your organization is concerned about. Earlier in the back in February, now that this may have changed, but at that point, when we had preliminary budget requests for fiscal 2007, the budget requested $180 million for this, for the Emergency Management Performance Grant Program, and that was a pretty significant cut from what it had been before. It was like a $13 million cut. And now it sounds as if maybe that got beefed up a little bit. But again, it would really make you wonder here, after having come through what we've come through the past few years, and after having so many people say, you know, this is really important, we ought to really put priority on dealing with emergency situations. States depend, as you point out, heavily on federal money, rather than putting more money into this, or at least trying to maintain the funding level we had before, that the administration actually cut the money for that.
It was quite shocking, certainly for our organization and emergency managers around the country, that right on the heels of Hurricane Katrina, we saw a proposed funding cut to the one single program in the federal government that addresses natural disasters. Most of the other grants going to state and local governments, again, are focused on homeland security and terrorism preparedness. So it was very surprising and very disheartening to see that we have still not learned our lessons from disasters over the last 30 years. In fact, certainly Hurricane Katrina should have revealed the need that a significant amount of money needs to be invested in emergency management in this country and in communications and technology and our infrastructure to protect us from future disasters like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, given the fact that now we are so much more aware of that, and given the fact that the federal government just doesn't seem to be able to do more than that, you talked earlier about the fact that in state legislatures, you know, when they sit down and they talk about how much money they've got and how they're going to spend the money, that often emergency preparedness gets kind of down on the list, and that it's maybe difficult to make the argument that you should be spending more on that than you spend on, you know, whatever else is you spend money on your state for healthcare, schools, law enforcement, roads, and so on and so on. I would assume that in the state legislatures, the people that you represent, the ones who run emergency management in their state, are there talking to their state legislators and saying, look, we're simply not putting enough money into this. The federal government is not putting in as much money as they used to. So here in our state, whatever state it is, we need to put more resources into that. I mean, is that a kind of argument that doesn't seem to resonate all that strongly with state legislators around the country?
Well, I think it did in the immediate aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Those states that had their legislatures in session in 2006, there have been many of them that have had their legislatures appropriate additional funding, be it to hire more staff, to do additional training, to build or renovate state and local emergency operations centers, to do more public education about how individuals and families need to be better prepared for themselves for disasters. So, you know, if there was one positive that came out of Hurricane Katrina, it was that many states were able to take advantage of that window of opportunity when attention was very focused on state preparation for natural disasters and to get some additional funding. Whether that funding remains for the long term or people's attention will turn back to the issues of the day, that remains to be seen.
In this hour of Focus 580, we're talking with Trina Sheets. She's the executive director for the National Emergency Management Association. It's based in Lexington, Kentucky. It's a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization. It's an affiliate of the Council of State Governments, and it represents the state directors of emergency management in all 50 states, also District of Columbia and U.S. territories. Questions welcome here. We're talking about our ability to respond to a national emergency or a big natural disaster like Hurricane Katrina, for example. Questions, comments, certainly welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. I think that if you ask people what the problems were, you know, why did we have problems in responding to Hurricane Katrina, and specifically looking at the level of the federal government, I think a lot of people would say, well, a lot of the responsibility has to be laid at the door of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management organization, agency, and that part of the problem there is what happened to FEMA after it was incorporated into the Department of Homeland Security. That it was changed, and some of the resources that it had were moved around, and that it wasn't the organization that it was before, and that made it less well equipped to respond to something like Hurricane Katrina. And in fact, I think just recently now, the Congress, or maybe this is just the Senate, voted to create a new entity to replace FEMA that would have a different name. It will be called the Emergency Management Authority. Now, I think some people are questioning just whether this is anything more than a name change. But can you talk a little bit about your concerns and your organization's concerns about, first of all, about what happened to FEMA when it became part of the Department of Homeland Security?
Sure. Well, from our organization's perspective, there was no question that FEMA was degraded as it became part of the Department of Homeland Security. There were funds that were taken from FEMA to support the startup of the department. Over time, there was a loss of personnel from FEMA, and those positions were frozen, and they were not allowed to fill those positions. The authority of the FEMA director was diminished significantly as the secretary of the Department of Homeland Security took on many of those responsibilities and authorities, although individuals in that position did not possess an emergency management-type background. And, you know, FEMA has always had a very good relationship with the states. They have offices in 10 regions of the country. And personnel in those FEMA regional offices work with their state counterparts on a daily basis. they knew the capabilities of each state. They also knew where their shortfalls were. And should they experience a major disaster, what type of assistance would be needed very quickly to assist the state. And over time, again, these regional offices were allowed to deteriorate. Many of them did not have a full-time director in place. Again, staffing levels were reduced, and there became a shell of an office, if you will, and everything was running out of the headquarters in Washington, D.C. from the Department of Homeland Security, and there was not a day-to-day relationship with state emergency managers, so there became a very clear disconnect. And again, the focus on terrorism preparedness and homeland security completely overshadowed the preparedness that was needed for natural disaster. So from our perspective, very clearly FEMA suffered when it became part of DHS.
Well, okay, so now here, and I guess what has happened here is that the Senate has voted to make some changes. New name for FEMA. It would still be part of Homeland Security. Apparently, in the House side, what they're doing is they're thinking about some other kind of approach that maybe wouldn't change FEMA so much, but it would move it back outside of Homeland Security, making it a more standalone organization the way that it used to be. What is your thought about changes to FEMA? Do you think that it would be a good thing if FEMA then? If we moved it back out again of Homeland Security, would that make much difference in its ability to respond, particularly to natural disaster?
You know, our organization has not taken a position on whether FEMA should be in or out of the Department of Homeland Security, and that's simply because the states are not in agreement. It's almost equal in terms of the number of states that feel FEMA needs to be pulled out of the department and be a standalone agency versus those that feel like, you know, continued reorganization here is not the answer. What we have advocated with both the House and the Senate is that regardless of where FEMA is located in the federal government organizational structure, it needs to be appropriately resourced. The director needs to meet specific qualifications and criteria. That individual needs to have the authority given to them in the Stafford Act, which is the FEMA authorizing legislation. That individual needs to have a direct report to the President of the United States. So there are certain things that we have laid out that we believe needs to happen in order for FEMA to be successful, regardless of whether it's in or out of DHS.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that in the past for the state directors of emergency management, the main focus has been natural disaster, earthquakes, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, you know, depending on where you live and what you're likely to encounter. And that though since 9/11, there has been this shift that now in addition to thinking about those other things and being prepared for them, and the fact that probably those things are actually more, the odds are more likely that's going to be the kind of thing that you're going to have to deal with. But you have to consider that it's possible the other might happen too. How the way that state emergency managers think and what they plan for, how has that changed now that we're in a time when, in addition to thinking about those other things, floods and hurricanes and tornadoes, they actually have to start thinking about terrorism?
Well, emergency managers, their mindset on a daily basis is what we call all hazards. And it's thinking about and planning for and preparing for any and all events that might affect your state, your citizens, and your population. And that includes the possibility of terrorism. There's no question that some states are going to experience a natural disaster in and out every year, some less frequently than that. But most states in this country are prone to some type of natural disaster. But having said that, we are in an era when terrorism is a very real possibility, and certainly we've experienced it from September 11th. And emergency managers understand that. what they're asking for is flexibility in federal grant funding to be able to prioritize the hazards and the needs in their state and utilize the money to address those events that they know are going to happen and to also plan for terrorism. To a large degree, if you are prepared to respond to a large, even catastrophic disaster, you will have systems, personnel, and programs in place that will also help you respond to terrorism. Not entirely. There are absolutely some specific response needs and requirements to respond to terrorism that are different from natural disasters. There's no question. There's certainly a huge law enforcement component to responding to a terrorism event. But if states were given greater flexibility with the funding that they need, they could do a better job in addressing both.
We have some callers here to bring into the conversation. Let's do that. We'll start with someone here where we are in Champaign. Line number one.
Yes, I have a couple of questions going to the authority and responsibility of governors in the case of multi-state disasters. If, for example, the New Madrid Fault should let go again, which, of course, it hasn't done for nearly 200 years now, but it would certainly affect at least four or five states. And my question is, how would the governors get together to relate to that? What would be their communication abilities and so forth? And also, what would be the way that the governors could operate with reference to calling out the National Guard in a period when so much of the National Guard has been nationalized?
Sure. Well, in an event like the New Madrid earthquake, as you said, that is going to affect an entire region of the country. Now, each governor is going to be responsible for the response to what has happened in their own state. And in a New Madrid, in an event that large, obviously the federal government is going to get involved quite quickly. There's going to be significant damage. Governors will act very quickly to request federal assistance. And the FEMA Regional Operations Center in that region will be stood up. Joint operations centers, joint information centers with the Department of Homeland Security, all of those things will be stood up very, very quickly in a large-scale event like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And so there will be quite a bit of communications and technology equipment that's brought in from the federal government. They certainly won't be left on their own for long. There will be a very swift state response. There will be a very swift federal response in a situation like that.
Mm-hmm. And what about the Guard?
Well, certainly every governor will have the capability to call out the National Guard. I'm sure every state is a little bit different in terms of how many troops they have deployed, perhaps to Iraq or other areas of the country. I know some states were concerned about the recent plan to send National Guard troops to the southern border to assist with the prevention of illegally crossing the border. And there were some states in the hurricane region that asked for a waiver so they could keep their guard troops within their states. Mm-hmm. So that would certainly be a state-by-state issue, but potentially a concern depending on what's going on around the world at any given time and where their troops might be located.
Thank you very much.
All right,
thank you for the call. Let's go to someone else here. This is someone listening in Chicago on our toll-free line, line four. Hello.
Thank you. Regarding the matter of resources and population, we may be talking about the immediate size of our population and of resources that we have available or not for that. And I was wondering if in your projection, say 20 years down the line for other potential disasters, natural or otherwise, to begin to realize the budget has to be anticipating and incorporating all those great increases that are suddenly going to be occurring. And are you factoring that into the needs for your funds and so forth. And another question would be on resources. Would the rationing certainly be in the picture if events require it?
If I understand your question correctly, you're asking if resources and budgets will increase in the future as population grows and expands.
2050, I anticipate the population here, certainly increasing by 100 million or more.
Sure. Well, there's only so many resources to be had. There is never going to be enough money available in this country to mitigate the effects of any disaster that might happen. It's my opinion that this gets into public policy issues, and state and local officials need to do a better job now and in the future of addressing issues like land use planning, zoning, the enforcement of stricter building codes.
And public transportation.
Public transportation, investing in infrastructure. And again, those things do require money, but they are to some degree public policy issues. How long are we going to continue to allow populations to build right, up to the coastline? We see homes on the sides of mountains that are prone to mudslides. We see in the West now populations expanding out into the wilds nearly, and we're seeing wildfires coming into the urban area. At what point do we stop and, no longer allow those things to happen?
Well, I certainly think that budget considerations on the national level, public policy and that, should certainly foresee, setting aside resources like food storage increasing capabilities, as well as a fuel and other things. And I can foresee rationing certainly entering into the picture if things get to that degree of disaster. Certainly, the matter of petroleum is uppermost right now. Thank you.
Absolutely, yes. We saw those things come into play after Hurricane Katrina, which we had not seen in quite some time. So it is quite a sobering fact to think about, both natural and financial resources and how far those could go if we continue to see events like this in the future.
In this hour of Focus 580, we're talking with Trina Sheets. She is the executive director for the National Emergency Management Association based in Lexington, Kentucky. This is an organization that represents the state directors of emergency management in all 50 states. It's a nonprofit, a nonpartisan organization. And we're talking here about national emergency management and disaster preparedness, and asking this question, as so many people have asked, in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, whether or not we are better prepared to respond to a disaster like that now than we were a year ago. And again, questions welcome, 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. I think the experience of Katrina, again, just to stay with that, I think has raised all kinds of questions about preparedness and about issues of evacuation, for example, and whether if you're in a major metropolitan area, there is a way to evacuate large numbers of people. And then you get to the question of, where are these people going to go? Are you going to try to provide shelter for them? How are you going to feed them? If they require medical attention, how are you going to deal with that? All of those are enormous questions. Let me, though, if you can talk about that if you want to. But one other thing that I think has really emerged going back to September 11 and still a problem with Katrina is the problem of communications, and about just how vulnerable our communication systems are, those that citizens use and those that government use, to disruption. And I don't know how much we have come to depend on mobile phones and mobile radio communications. And if your network goes down, you're in a world of hurt because emergency people can't talk to one another, government people can't talk to one another, individuals can't talk to one another, can't talk to their family. People who need help, they can't say, "Here I am, come and help." This is a real serious issue.
Well, it is. And I think the first step to that, however, is for we as individuals and as citizens to listen to what our emergency management professionals are telling us. We need to be aware of evacuation orders and understand that we need to act on them. emergency managers do not give evacuation orders lightly. They work in very close cooperation with the National Weather Service and forecasters in the area and in the region. They have triggers, if you will, about when to issue evacuation orders. They know how long it's going to take to evacuate particular areas, and people just need to listen. If you get out of the area in a timely manner, as instructed, you're not going to experience what a lot of people did during Hurricane Katrina, and not have any way to communicate the need for assistance or to be left without any transportation from the area. So really, it's a matter of individuals and families being prepared and having a plan in place and not completely depending on the federal government or state government to help them.
Well, that though I think that a lot of people would point to one of the big problems with Katrina was that, well, in any situation like that, I suppose there might well be people who just won't leave. But then there were significant numbers of people there who didn't have the means, and that where they would have to be relying on the government to provide the means for them to leave because they couldn't. They couldn't on their own. And that was, it seemed like that was a place where really government really fell down.
It's true. And there are many, many lessons learned in the area of evacuation planning and mass sheltering from Hurricane Katrina. And every state in the country has really paid close attention to this since that time, particularly planning for special needs populations, those that are perhaps disabled, have medical conditions, or completely, you know, lack transportation or the ability to transport themselves, even to, you know, staging areas for buses or public transportation, if you will, to be taken out of a particular area. You know, nursing homes, we saw just terrible, terrible, tragic stories about patients in nursing homes who had no ability to evacuate, and many perished in hospitals as well in the aftermath of Katrina. So there are many lessons learned from that. State and local governments have taken those lessons very seriously and have taken steps to address those issues within their own areas.
Mm-hmm. I know, I'm sure that for a lot of state officials, what happened with Katrina and Rita was the proverbial wake-up call. And after that, if they weren't thinking about this, and I'm sure that they were, but I'm sure that it added urgency to that conversation because it was an illustration of just how serious the situation could be. And I'm sure that they all started to reassess their disaster preparedness. And in fact, as we've talked about, the fact that Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security, also then initiated a national review. They wanted to go out and look at all of the states and their plans to see what was in place. I guess one of the things, though, that in what I've read about this that's kind of striking is that apparently the Department of Homeland Security thinks that states are better prepared than the states think they are. And that the assessments there, you know, maybe are unrealistic on the part of Homeland Security, have been unrealistically optimistic. Not to say that we haven't learned anything from Katrina, but that perhaps that kind of thing, that's what it enables the federal government to cut the funding for the most important federal program that provides funds to state agencies. If the government says, oh, you guys are ready. And then the state agencies themselves say, well, yeah, but we're not as ready as we should be. I mean, there still seems to be a big kind of a disconnect between what is happening on the state level and what's happening on the federal level.
You know, the state emergency management agencies took this national assessment by the Department of Homeland Security very seriously. To them, it was an opportunity to very frankly and honestly assess their plans and programs and identify where their gaps and shortfalls were so that should resources become available, they could be applied. It's a justification for additional resources, if you will. And they saw this as an opportunity to you know, demonstrate this assessment to governors and their state legislators and other policy leaders within the state and local level to say, hey, you know, here's where we really need some help. We're deficient here, and we saw what happened in Hurricane Katrina. We don't want to see anything like that happen in our state. Here's an honest assessment of where we are, and can we systematically then begin to apply resources to address these shortfalls? I mean, that was their thought process as they went through this assessment. And for, you know, whatever reason, I'm not sure why, in some cases, the federal government deemed plans to be more sufficient than states thought they were. I don't know the answer to that question, but I know the states went through it very methodically and took it very seriously, and you know, certainly now have the information they need to take to elected officials and see, you know, kind of what the public will is to address some of these deficiencies.
Mm-hmm. And this, it's something that I've read about in some newspaper coverage of this, and the reporters who looked at it said that this was kind of difficult because, in fact, that the Department of Homeland Security didn't really want to give them the information, but that they did seem to find this kind of pattern of disconnect between the federal level and the state level. I get it. Just makes you think that there's a kind of a gap here that's going to be difficult to bridge. Particularly, and I realize that we've kind of gone over this ground before, but particularly when it comes to states trying to advocate for the resources that they need to be able to be prepared.
Right. Well, you know, again, this assessment, and again in the minds of the states. They hope this isn't just a one-time assessment and, you know, we move on to whatever the next issue of the day is. Or, you know, we have a habit in this country of having a knee-jerk reaction to everything that occurs, be it, you know, September 11th and the pendulum swings completely from natural disasters to an almost exclusive focus on terrorism, to Hurricane Katrina, where the pendulum swings completely back the other direction, and we send, you know, Department of Homeland Security contractors out all over the country to do assessments that should take longer periods of time and more thoughtful consideration, and they want them done in a couple of months. You know, there's no balance. We just swing from one end of the, you know, the pendulum goes from one end to the other, and there just has to be a balance. We need to do terrorism preparedness. We need to do natural disaster preparedness and everything in between, you know, public health emergencies, pandemic influenza. All of these things need to be addressed, and they can be if you have, again, an all-hazards approach so that you're looking comprehensively at those risks to your state and your population, and you have the flexibility to utilize the funds to address what the priorities are in your given state or locality.
Mm-hmm. We have, maybe I just mentioned to people who are listening, we have just a couple of minutes left. And again, if somebody is out there has a question, do give us a call. Trina Sheets is our guest. She's Executive Director for the National Emergency Management Association. We're talking about disaster preparedness, and questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. It must, just going back to something you said a little bit earlier, it must sometimes be a little bit frustrating for state officials that perhaps people... What you're suggesting is that people should do everything they can as individuals and as families to prepare for whatever disaster they might have to encounter. And we all get those kinds of advice. And we're recommended that we have disaster preparedness plans, and that maybe there's a few basic things we should have in the house to be ready in case such a thing would happen. That we have to give some thoughts to the fact that if we had to leave, would we have what we need? Would we know where we were going to go? And then there's the issue of, if you tell people to go, will they actually do it? You know, it seems that it must be sometimes a little bit frustrating for people who deal with this issue on a state level to get people to take it seriously, to do what's recommended, to actually do what they're being told to do, or it's suggested what we should do.
Right. Well, I think we over time, as a country, our population has grown accustomed to a very swift response by government to natural disasters. And, you know, prior to Hurricane Katrina, disasters were large and significant, but certainly not anything like Hurricane Katrina. So, you know, citizens in areas impacted by disasters could reasonably expect, you know, to have power back up and running, to have shelters open, to be able to get ice, water, and food fairly quickly after the disaster occurred. But, you know, it's unreasonable to expect that of government. We have always said that citizens need to be prepared to take care of themselves for the first 72 hours, because government, what they are doing along with the private sector, is trying to get power back on, water back on, get the infrastructure back in place, you know, so that communities can be restored. They cannot have to worry about going and knocking on the doors of thousands of homes, you know, not only to tell people to evacuate, but in the immediate aftermath of a disaster to check on those who did not evacuate. And those first responders, their lives are being put at risk by people who refuse to leave. Yet, you know, they're on the tops of houses with signs saying, "Rescue me." There has to be a level of personal responsibility in this country that we have not seen today. The example is in Florida last year with Hurricane Wilma. Right on the heels of Hurricane Rita and Hurricane Katrina, Wilma came in and impacted parts of Florida, and Governor Bush at that time repeatedly said to the public, "You need to be ready to take care of yourselves for the first 3 days." And there were many, many people who did not heed that call and, you know, subsequently complained and wondered, you know, where the ice and the water lines were. And we just have to change the mindset of individuals in this country that they have a responsibility to themselves and to their families to be prepared.
All right. Well, there we've got to leave it with our thanks to our guest, Tweena Sheets. She is, as I've said, the executive director for the National Emergency Management Association. This represents the state directors of emergency management in all the states. And they do indeed have a website if you're interested in finding out more about it or reading some about this issue. Easiest thing probably just to put NEMA, N-E-M-A, into your browser and you will find it. And Ms. Sheets, thank you very much.